We sit in the sukkah and we look up at the sky and we see the stars and we recall the song that the stars sing. Atahu Hashem Levadecha. You alone are Hashem. Atah Asiso as Hashemayim, Shemei Hashemayim v'chol tzva'om. You made the heavens, the highest levels of heavens, all the heavenly hosts. Ha'oretz v'chol asher oleho, the land and everything that is on it. Hayamim v'chol asher bohem, the seas and everything that is in them. V'atah mechay es kulam, you keep everything alive, cause everything to live. U'tzavah shemayim l'chol mishtachavim, and the hosts of heaven all bow down to you as opposed to us bowing down to the hosts of heaven. This was the massive teshuvah, the repentance in the time of Nehemiah, where they turned their back on the worship of things like the sun, which had in turn itself been turning its back on the temple. And they turned back towards Hashem and recognize that those stars, those incredible mysterious stars, are nothing but servants expressing their own admiration and recognition of Hashem. Those stars are a guide to us. In fact, the reason that they are a guide, we understand, we know that sailors use them the whole time. The idea that they are at least using the pole star fixed in the sky, not literally, but that's how it appears. They are there as a guide. They're fixed and trustworthy. And yet, that comes with its own warning sign. Because something that is fixed, whilst there may be a sense of reliability, ironically, that very rigidity, which can be seen as positive in its unchangingness, so to speak, can be its undoing. In fact, you find this expression when Avram, who becomes Avraham, thinks that he's never going to have a child, and Rashi brings the medrash that says Hashem tells Avraham, "Tsei me'itzdagninus shelcha." When he tells him to go out and count the stars, he tells him, leave your astrology behind and realize, yeah, maybe Avram, according to your calculations, is not meant to have any children. Avraham is, though. Don't think that your fate is sealed, that your future is fixed, and that's it. It's all over. Look at the stars. They do appear to be fixed. They do appear to be rigid. They're not. They do move. But if you don't look at it correctly, you think that the unchanging nature is all that there is. We've already expressed a couple of times that Devarim, the Sedra which we're entering now and the book that we're entering now, is known as Mishneh Torah. And we expressed that means the repetition. And we express that the root of that word means both to change and to repeat, which sound like exact opposites. Because if you change something, then you're not repeating it. If you're repeating it, then it's not a change. But no, we understand there are certain things which are fixed with regards to the year, the word shonah. There's a Pesach every year, there's a Sukkot every year, there's a Shavuot every year. But if you're the same person you were the year before, there's something going wrong. So certain things are fixed, but your growth is certainly not. Do not have that fixed mindset of which we have spoken. My Rebbe Rav Moshe pointed out that in the Kabbalistic writings, they say that each one of the months corresponds, and the Arizal talks about this, corresponds to one of the senses, a particular sense that the body has. Like in Nisan, it was about the mouth, and we spoke extensively about that. The Peh Soch, the mouth that speaks. The Peh Ra, which is Paroi, the evil mouth. Tammuz was meant to be the Chush HaRe'iyah. Tammuz is meant to be the month which represents, if it was right, the sense of sight, and yet it was damaged in this period of time. It was damaged with the Egel, and he quotes the Pasuk, which remember they've just had the epic Matan Torah, where they saw the thunder and lightning. They saw things which were above and beyond anything that you could regularly see according to the natural world, and everything was amazing. But then came a negative ra'iyah, a negative sight. Vayar ha'om, the people saw kivoshesh Moshe, that Moshe was delayed. That's what they saw. Was Moshe delayed? No, it was stymied. It was imperfect, and it was mistaken. And then the luchos were smashed. And amazingly, as we've expressed, the luchos weren't smashed. The letters flew up in the air, made it give the impression they were smashed, but they never really were. Again, a damaged sight. And this continued with the spies. I mean, what is a spy after all? I spy. The spy looks, it sees. Chazal say the reason that in Eichel, Megillas Eichel, where there's an alphabetical acrostic, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, all the way, the letter P comes before the letter Ayin, which is the opposite. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says this is because spies were maktim per la'ayin. They put the mouth before the eye. So what does this mean? It means that effectively they said what they hadn't yet seen. Even though they didn't lie, they gave what was ostensibly the truth, but they'd already decided what they were going to see. This was even though it seems so they told the truth, this was a mix-up in what the re'iyah was. And that is why history was ruptured from then until Mashiach. It looks as though the stars are fixed. It does not have to be that way. It should have been a Matan Torah, but unfortunately we see the opposite, or rather we don't, because we're in the darkness of Golas. In Shoftim Perek Hay, we find that in the war against Sisera, it says, Min ha-shamayim nilchomu, from the heavens they fought, ha-kuychovim mimsiloisom, the stars from their paths. The stars themselves waged war from their paths. What does that mean? Yes, from their apparent fixed status, which Sisera and his cohorts believed in, that astrologically speaking, it's this and nothing else. Fate tells you this. It's like the ancient Greeks and the hateful fate. So it's either that God changed the path, or just the very fact that Sisera's fate was sealed, and I use the word fate tongue in cheek, because of the rigidity. And what happened, say Chazal, Hashem, so to speak, took the star, whichever star it was, Kimo Kira, he heated up everything. So either that the horse's hooves were smitten by it, or that the crescents around the necks of the soldiers got so hot. Crescents, the moon, they served the moon like serving the sun, and we've spoken about that, a misplaced serving. They heated up so much they had to jump into the river, the Nachal Kishon, and there was a flash flood, and whoosh, they were taken away. Those very stars, which were meant to be rigid, Hashem said, no, no, no. If I say they're fixed, they're fixed. If I say they move, they move. Incredibly, the Gemara tells us, Reb Shur ben Chananya tells us, that every 70 years, there is a star which changes course and leads the sailors astray. Reb Dessler and others explain how actually stars can lead, and stars can mislead, because if you have a fixed mindset and it's my way or the highway, no good. What is this star? Some people conjecture maybe it's Halley's Comet. But you've got to understand that if you can take yourself out of that fixed mindset and understand that even a comet itself is not really a star. People call it a falling star. But if you can get out of that fixed mindset, comet the man, comet the hour, there's a way to get back to a state where your vision will be restored. The vision of Tammuz to as the man matan te rosenu.